Time for our weekly chat. Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio. You can, of course, hear him overnights here on 610 Sports Radio.
Yeah, it's always good to talk to Ben. And this week it's been crazy, my man. Talking about Jalen Ramsey. Will he end up here? Won't he end up here? Will he end up here? Won't he end up here? Ultimately, Ben, what do you think? Where's Jalen Ramsey going to end up?
Well, it should be the Chiefs. It should be the Chiefs or the Philadelphia Eagles, guys, because this is a no-brainer. I mean, I'm sure you guys have discussed it ad nauseum and all that, but I'll add on to it. I give the full blessing, whatever that's worth, of Jalen Ramsey with the Chiefs. And you figure the obvious first-round draft picks. I don't have a problem trading first-round draft picks. I know some people are addicted to this. They believe and trust the process and all that, but the Chiefs are on the brink of being a Super Bowl team. They were in the AFC Championship game last year. The weak link is the defense. Jalen Ramsey can fix that. So if you have to give a first-round pick in 2020 and then another first-round pick in 2022 or something like that, so what? That's the cost of doing business. Now, you got to pay Ramsey. That's the problem because his contract's coming up, but he's a really good player. And he can shut down the other team's number one receiver. So if the Chiefs front office is forward thinking and smart, this is a no brainer. You trade whatever it takes, but you trade a reasonable amount. The going rate for a star player with Khalil Mack and Laremy Tunsil's two first round picks. Jalen Ramsey's not better than Khalil Mack, but he's better than Tunsil.
So do you think the Chiefs are a Super Bowl lock if they get Jalen Ramsey?
No, they're not a Super Bowl lock because the Patriots keep signing guys like Antonio Brown, assuming he plays all year. But it closes the gap, and it makes it more of a feasible option for the Chiefs. Again, the way the Chiefs defense, I know last week the game was odd because they scored the 28 points in the second quarter against the Raiders. But the idea that the Chiefs defense just has to be average. Jalen Ramsey would help get them towards that goal, and again, if they have home field in the playoffs, their chances obviously go up. But, you play the percentages. The percentage chance of the Chiefs getting to a Super Bowl with Jalen Ramsey is higher than without him. And certainly those first-round picks aren't going to help you this year to get to the Super Bowl.
How much did you enjoy, meanwhile, I don't know if it's a farewell press conference he had or not, but the Jags allowing him to go and speak, and now it just seems like if you're disgruntled, get out in front of it, and a team's going to move you.
Yeah, we have seen a sea change, Josh. That's a good point. Like in the last couple of months in the NFL, like forever in the NFL, if you were unhappy, you had to keep it in-house, you weren't supposed to talk about it and all that stuff. And we have seen a drastic switcheroo here where now it's becoming more like the NBA, where guys who are unhappy, they're complaining. We saw that guy Taco Charlton in Dallas. He sent out a vague, cryptic tweet about wanting to be out of Dallas. He got his release earlier this week. So it's the way of the future. But it is bizarre. I mean, that Jacksonville would be complicit and enable Jalen Ramsey to do that, and they're going to play him tonight, which you talk about being a party pooper, guys. That's likely the only reason, him and Gardner Minshew, to watch the game tonight in the Thursday night game. But let's say Ramsey plays and then he twists his ankle or something like that. Suddenly you're not going to trade two first-round picks if he's on the injured list. So they're taking a chance. They're gambling Jacksonville if they actually do end up playing him tonight, which they say they are.
Talking with Ben Maller here on 610 Sports Radio, and also out of that game tonight, I heard you talking on the show driving in. Gardner Minshew now putting up better numbers than first-round number one overall pick Kyler Murray. Why isn't the NFL letting us know this?
Well, because they have a vested interest, Bob. This is my complaint here. I'm howling in the night here, but the Kyler Murray thing. He had a couple of 300 yard games, but he has not been great so far. If you go down the numbers, Gardner Minshew has been better. Now Jacksonville hasn't won a game yet. By the way, spoiler alert: neither are the Arizona Cardinals. A tie is as good as a loss, in my opinion. So, but yeah, Gardner Minshew, who looks like he dropped out of the 1970s, and he's like doing parody or something like that. But he has a higher completion percentage, more yards per attempt. Go down the list in several categories. He is better. He's leading all rookies, not just Kyler Murray. Not that many of these rookie quarterbacks have played, but he is leading the entire NFL as far as first-year quarterbacks in those categories. But it doesn't fit the narrative. But I will tell you, though, Bob, Kyler Murray, he's getting all the publicity and all that right now. But Gardner Minshew, there's like a cult following of this guy. He is picking up So as much as you can pick up excitement playing in Jacksonville, there are people that are buzzing. He's getting a lot of traction on social media.
Not to mention, I don't think Kyler Murray was offered anything to do like naked aerobics and pitch fig leaves or something, or whatever that fantastic endorsement is that Gardner Minshew has on the table.
Yeah, Josh, I saw it. It's $1 million, allegedly. I'm sure it's like $10,000 for the rest of your life, you know, whatever. But it's up to $1 million, and he has to do workout videos in his jock strap, and then they'll pay him the money. I mean, if it was actually like $1 million check, you would have to take it, wouldn't you? I mean, he apparently has no problem with his body and walking around in his jock strap. I mean, why not? Pay the man.
I think that's the same company that called me the other day, wanting me to do the exact same thing, isn't it? Isn't that the one we talked about on the air? No? Anybody?
Well, yeah, I think I was off the air. You texted me, Bob. I think that's a spinoff of the NFL dance class, right?
Yes, exactly it is. Did the Giants make the right move with Eli Manning?
Yes, absolutely. They should have made this move several years ago. They tried to make the move a couple years ago with Ben McAdoo when they took Eli Manning out, and then because they didn't have a succession plan with Geno Smith, they obviously that backfired, and Ben McAdoo lost his job and is like a pariah in the NFL these days. But Daniel Jones played great in the preseason. Eli Manning's not the only reason the Giants suck right now. They got terrible players on defense, and the guys aren't carrying their weight defensively, which is a problem. But Eli Manning has been a substandard quarterback for 7 years. This is not something that you say you give him 1 year, it's a mulligan, maybe 2 bad years, but 7 years where Eli Manning has been not carrying the weight for the Giants. And see, you might as well throw Daniel Jones out there, see what he can do, see if he's anywhere near as good as he was in the preseason. And he gives you hope. I think you learn by playing. You don't learn by doing. And I know I'm saying that while Patrick Mahomes became the greatest quarterback in football by not playing, but I still think if you had the choice, you'd rather play.
All right, we got the Chiefs and the Ravens this weekend. Are you a buyer in Lamar Jackson, or is he a benefit of the teams that he's played so far?
Yeah, see, I'm not on the Lamar Jackson bandwagon. I'm not part of the Marching and Chowder Society yet. Although I will concede that he has outplayed my expectations. I had taken many gratuitous cheap shots at Lamar Jackson on the overnight show as a sideshow and a gimmick, and he sliced up two teams that will likely have top five picks in the draft in Miami and in Arizona, who are two of the worst teams in football, the worst and one of the worst. And so, yeah, even this week, I expect this game to be close. I expect this game, you know, the Ravens are a pretty good team, but the Ravens' defense isn't that good. I think in the end, the Chiefs will end up, you know, pulling away, and they'll probably even cover the number if you're a gambler. But yeah, I'm not all in on Lamar Jackson. I got to see more. Small sample size. He hasn't played anybody that great defensively. And to be fair, the Chiefs aren't a great defensive team either. So even if he goes off and has a great game this weekend, I still will not be completely convinced.
Ben, we appreciate the time. As always, enjoy Thursday night football and watching Gardner Minshew dance with a fig leaf.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Ben Maller, with us here every Thursday on 610 Sports Radio. You can catch him overnights on Fox Sports Radio right here on our station.
So what's the holdup? We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the morning.
So the wait continues. Where will Jalen Ramsey's landing spot be? Will it be Kansas City? Will it be elsewhere? Oh, by the way, his current team has a game tonight. Yes,
which
Jacksonville's
makes it more intriguing.
On the Thursday night stage against the Titans.
Oh, huge game.
Jags and Titans on a Thursday night. I'm just going ahead and skipping this, right?
Right.
And watch all those commercials all week. But the rivalry between the Titans and the Jags.
Is there a rivalry?
This is one of those games like, no.
That guy yelling, Duval.
Yeah, well, that all of a sudden became a thing like this year.
It's just the county they're in, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's the county that the Jacksonville Jaguars are located.
Jackson!
You're the only ones that get that.
Yeah, that one makes no sense to me.
So there is some intrigue to it. Jags head coach Doug Marrone says Ramsey will play tonight. Despite, of course, the public trade request.
That's all posturing, though. I mean, if they're close to a trade with him, you can't play him tonight if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's how everybody will know there's a trade, too.
And then Adam Schefter tweeting out this morning, the beginning of the week, an NFL team reached out to the league office, asked whether Jalen Ramsey could play Sunday for that team after he played Thursday for the Jags, per a source. League informed the team, no.
That's one game per player per week.
Oh, see, I don't agree with that. I mean, if you could trade him in Major League Baseball, you're on that team
the next
day. I'm
sure it's collectively bargained that way, Bob.
You can agree with that all you want. Yeah. Them's the rules.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I got you, Josh. Yeah. I didn't. Maybe it's collectively bargained that way with players. Yeah. If you get traded, you have to play for that team.
They're fighting over two more games, Bob. You've got to play one more without a contract.
That is true. But don't you think Jalen Ramsey,
I mean, hypothetically, you could play three games in a week. If you were on Thursday night and somebody traded you after the game, then you play Sunday noon, and then
maybe
you
play Sunday night
again,
and then
Monday. You could play Sunday night and Monday.
So you could play
four games,
yeah,
Bob.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Bunch of slackers in the NFL.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. These guys need to suck it up. I mean, you've seen guys traded in baseball walk across the aisle into the next clubhouse on the and then play against their teammates that night. I mean, you've seen baseball.
Yeah, but they also have a hangnail and they're out for 6 weeks.
Yeah,
so let's not pretend like they're always there for you.
Yeah.
So. I'm Jacksonville. I'm not playing him tonight.
No, but I mean, as Doug Buffon,
and not so that he could play Sunday for somebody else, but just to avoid
the injury
disaster, which would be him getting injured and you stuck with him.
Oh, if he gets injured and you're stuck with him, then Jacksonville has really cost themselves a lot. And people say, what are the odds of getting injured? I don't know. What were the odds of Earl Thomas getting hurt last year, right before he was going to get traded to the Kansas City Chiefs, right? It was very, very, very slim. And he went out there and was done for the season, broke his leg. And so these type of things can happen. And I think right now, today, if you're Jacksonville leading up to this game, as Doug Buffon said, you've got to be out in front saying he is going to play. Because if you say he's not going to play, then you're giving a decided schematic advantage to the Tennessee Titans. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to give your opponent a leg up. So if you're the head coach of Jacksonville, you got to say all week that he's going to play and stick with that and say, yes, he's going to be out there and he is going to be playing. Because what if a trade doesn't happen, Josh? I mean, what if a trade doesn't happen? Because obviously there are some holds up. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network discusses those.
The biggest issue I've heard in speaking with team executives is the price tag, not just in terms of the draft compensation, which the Jaguars would want a lot, a first-round pick and more to let Ramsey go, but also Ramsey is eligible for a contract extension. He has literally backed up the Brinks truck, expects to be paid at the top of the market sooner than later. This is not Minkah Fitzpatrick with three low-cost years left on his rookie deal. Who's willing to give up that level of multiple high draft picks as well as over $15 million a year to a cornerback? That's going to dictate when or if Jalen Ramsey finds a new home.
So that's Tom Pelissero on NFL Network talking about price, asking price is what they're hung up on, not just with the trade compensation, but also paying Jalen Ramsey. And I can tell you this, the Chiefs originally said no to the original price that was being offered out there for Jalen Ramsey. You never bite on the first offer, right? We'll take that house for $1,000. I'm sorry, we're not accepting your offer. You're going to have to do better than that. And so the original offer was too much for the Chiefs, probably too much for everybody out there. So the original price was said no. And this is a story that has shifted throughout the week. I mean, it's constantly changing. We'll talk more in 1 hour with Therese Paylor, who's got information, obviously, on this as well. But from the people that I've talked to about this situation, the original price was, the answer was no by the Kansas City Chiefs. And the price did come down. I know the Chiefs and other teams in the NFL as well have done their due diligence about that, ultimately saying, I don't know right now, kind of giving, Jacksonville the old Heisman. And I would say right now where the Chiefs stand on this, I'll use the term long shot, but I'll also use a caveat, Josh, and say, but anything can happen because this story has changed so much from where we were, say, in, the last week of August, right before Labor Day, to where we are right now. Things have shifted a ton inside and outside of the Chiefs organization about Jalen Ramsey and whether or not he's a guy that they wanted to bring in. I mean, hell, stuff has shifted this week with Jalen Ramsey where they went from an automatic no to, well, okay, maybe we're still in this thing. But, there are other teams as well. We've heard San Francisco and him next to Richard Sherman would be a nice cornerback duo out there. You've heard Philadelphia a lot, and I've done a lot of listening to Baltimore radio this week to find out what they're saying about the Chiefs. Quite frankly, they've talked more about acquiring Jalen Ramsey than they have playing the Kansas City Chiefs this week. So those are three three cities that feel like they are involved.
They probably
as well.
Do want him for Sunday.
And they probably do want him for Sunday, no question about it. So I think ultimately, I think right now it's a long shot. But again, things could change in 10 minutes, just like they've constantly changed this week. And that's where you are when you're in a negotiation and a bargaining standpoint. 1 minute it looks like it's not going to happen. The next minute it looks like, okay, they've accepted your offer. So while it looks like a long shot now, the Jags may become desperate. And they may just say, fine, you can have them for this. And Ramsey may become desperate and say, okay, I don't need a long-term deal. I just want to play for you guys for this season and next. I promise I won't hold out. We'll get that in writing. And then we'll move on from there. And then you find out, okay, what are we going to do with Chris Jones? How is that process going to move forward? Or maybe the Chiefs do want to work out a long-term deal and Jones ends up being part of a package to go to Jacksonville or something like that. So there are so many options and scenarios out there. But as we sit here now at 7:37 on Thursday morning, I'll use the term long shot, but I'll also say things could change and he still could end up in
Kansas
City.
Hey, it's not over until it's over.
Right.
Until he's in another uniform or signs a long-term deal in Jacksonville, right? Mm-hmm. Which, yeah. Again, that's the longest shot.
Right.
That right. Jacksonville somehow scratches a check.
Correct.
Says we're going to keep you here and keep you happy. Yeah, that might not be enough at this point. It sounds like it's pretty broken.
And I just got an update. There's no new information at this time from people in the know, so nothing's really changed overnight.
But as a Chiefs fan, I'm just saying, as a Chiefs fan, you can hold out hope. Because it ain't over until it's over.
And you should hold out hope.
And you should be doing that.
You should hold out hope,
that until he's in another uniform, there's a chance.
Yes.
And there's dialogue. So
and again,
there's always a chance. And then, yes, where does Jackson? There's so many moving pieces with this one, too, because you don't just have a normal player involved that's just like, well, I'll just go wherever I'm traded. Obviously, he's a guy that wants to have some say and some control and ultimately a new contract. So there's a lot of entities are involved that make this, you know, different than a kind of a normal quote unquote trade.
And really, this is kind of new waters for the NFL. We haven't seen this over the last 2 years. It's really becoming like if a player doesn't like a situation, he demands a trade and gets out. Like usually in the NFL, once a season started, there was no player movement whatsoever. Nobody left the team, hardly ever saw a trade. But now you're seeing a lot of it with players forcing themselves out. But again, it comes down to if you're Jacksonville, you want the best compensation possible. When you look at Philadelphia, when you look at Baltimore, when you look at KC, when you look at San Francisco, like say those are the four teams that are involved in it, which team do you think is going to offer you the best first-round draft pick? Probably not the Chiefs. So if you're Jacksonville, maybe you're crossing off the Chiefs because the Chiefs are going to be picking 30, 31, 32.
And from Jacksonville's perspective, they don't care that it might be the best fit for
right, they don't give a rat's ass.
Because I think on paper everybody says, well, yeah, the Chiefs make the most sense. They need this corner. That doesn't matter to the Jacksonville Jaguars at all.
But this
what
is,
can you give us?
Right, this is why the
and
Minka
so
Fitzpatrick
Chiefs
went to Pittsburgh and not Kansas City
aren't in the best spot, at least in terms of like a this year draft
right.
pick to probably do that.
The Chiefs right now, and I hate saying this, are too good maybe to acquire this from another team's perspective. Because another team wants the best possible compensation they're going to get in return. And chances are San Francisco is going to have a better pick than the Chiefs. Chances are Baltimore is probably going to have a better pick than the Chiefs. Chances are Philadelphia is probably going to have a better pick than the Kansas City Chiefs. So you've got three teams there that ultimately will probably have better first-round picks than the Kansas City Chiefs, which, again, is why Minka Fitzpatrick went to Pittsburgh and not Kansas City, because the Steelers are going to have a better first-round pick this year because they stink versus the Kansas City Chiefs. So it comes down to that, and it's a little gambling on the part of the Baltimore Ravens, the Jacksonville Jaguars as well.
I guess it's good to be good, and it also puts it in a tough position when you're good.
Yeah.
Right? Don't have as much capital to move with.
Right, unless you're the Patriots and the league orders these players to go there.
Or to not touch their quarterback.
Yeah.
913-576-7610. If you know yesterday's player of the game that Cody gave you on the post-game show, this for a chance at Topper's Pizza. 913-576-7610 to play next.
Fesco in the morning.
Brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry, four generations of distinctive jewelry. Cody gave you a player of the game on the post-game show last night. All you have to do is lock that into the memory banks. Give us a ring-a-ding at 7:45 the next day. Tell us who it is. You get it right, you walk away with $25 of Topper's Pizza. You get it wrong, well, it just rolls over to the next day. That's what happened yesterday, right? I don't know. Either way, $50 to Topper's is on the line today. Keith is in Overland Park. And, oh, by the way, each winner is going to get qualified for the grand prize, a $500 gift card to Mazarese Jewelry at the end of the month. Keith is out in Overland Park. Keith, you were locked in on some Royals baseball. Who was the player of the game Cody gave you last night?
I'm hoping Danny Duffy.
Correct. Actually, yesterday afternoon. No, it was evening. Early evening, right? Somewhere in that ballpark.
By the time they got done, yeah. It was
real barn burner out in Oakland is in the rubber match. 1-0 the final in 11 innings.
It was a barn burner, though. It was a hell of a game, man.
31 strikeouts in that game.
Yes.
31 strikeouts. Danny Duffy got 6 of them. He worked 7 scoreless innings. 2 hits. Over those 7 innings, obviously
Royals
no
had
runs.
19 of those 31 strikeouts.
That's not optimal. Royals head up to Minnesota tonight, start of a 4-game set, the final road series of the season.
Who's your favorite Keith of all time?
Glover.
I was going to say Sweat.
Ooh, yeah, Keith Sweat's good.
Richards.
The niece's husband?
Yes. Nailed it. Kyle Gibson gets the ball tonight for the Twinkies. Mike Montgomery. For the Royals, Cody.
Toes the slab.
Cody will get you going with pregame at 5:30, and boy, will he ever get you going for the final Royals road series.
Big for Minnesota. Can play spoiler up there in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, I got kind of locked into the game yesterday. I mean, because it was tight, and there was good pitching. And
God, you had a chance with Soler there.
Bases loaded in the 11th.
Oh,
Soler's the plate. I'm thinking, okay, cool. Let's see this.
It really was Planet good pitching
and
yesterday.
Then, he got struck out,
yeah,
and they end up winning it in the bottom of the 11th. So
you knew that was going to happen, too. Once you strike out with the bases loaded, right, the next inning.
Felt like that was the best opportunity.
That stunk.
Need to go 7-2 in their final 9 to avoid 100 losses.
Let's go.
So I'm saying there's a chance,
mm-hmm.
but probably not. And you maybe should have gotten more for Homer Bailey. I mean, that guy pitched his tail off yesterday for Oakland.
He did.
He's done very, very well.
Maybe we could have traded him for Jalen Ramsey.
Could have been. Could have thrown it in with the Jalen Ramsey deal and got this thing mm-hmm. done. He's the GOAT. Been saying it for a long time. He's the GOAT.
Now you've told me that a lot, Josh. Thank you.
No, not you. Oh. Not you. And not a quarterback. I'm talking about
somebody different.
Talking about Dustin Colquitt.
Oh, well, that is a GOAT. Yes. He's as old as a billy goat.
He's the GOAT. I did not say that.
Back in my day. That's actual audio from Dustin.
Really, nobody more automatic than Dustin Colquitt.
Right.
Who will set the franchise record for career games on Sunday. He'll play in his 225th game.
You're assuming he's going to play on Sunday. Oh, well, I guess he'll hold. That's right. Yeah. Holding counts.
I'm not saying he's punting.
Right.
I'm saying he's going to play.
He's going to play. He'll hold. Okay. All right. Fair point.
I'm assuming they're scoring touchdowns.
Yes.
Well, maybe
they could go for 2 every time.
They could
though.
just to rip him out of his record.
Yeah.
Just so Will Shields could hold on to it for another game.
Well, they did it with Larry Johnson. Why not do it with Will? Right?
Because Dustin's awesome. Yeah. But Will Shields had the career record for games played, and Dustin Colquitt will play in game number 225 for the Chiefs coming up on Sunday. Colquitt discussing his pregame routine.
I try to listen to some music. I've always listened to some Buffett stuff kind of before the game. Just kind of calm any kind of nerves you have going on.
Well, you listen to Buffett to calm your nerves. I do a lot of times. It's very relaxed. Consider myself a parrot head.
So I didn't realize that would be kind of, you know, you see guys wearing their headphones all the time.
Right.
I would not have pictured.
What would you picture Dustin listens to? Like Florida Georgia Line or something like that?
Yeah.
Something with a little more
Alan Jackson.
A little more BPM to it. Something a little faster tempo.
Listening to the little man down there.
A little faster tempo.
Son of a sailor was always big for me. But he just all of his, you know, sometimes, you know, in the course of my career, you have seasons that are 2-14. And that doesn't happen when people like Andy Reid take over and do that stuff. And we were so lucky to get him since 2013. But I think his music kind of resonated that sometimes you do have to roll with the punches. And adversity is something that you can use to propel yourself and to try to make you better.
I don't think Jimmy Buffett has ever faced an adverse day in his life.
Are we listening to the same Jimmy Buffett?
I thought it was always like sunny and warm and you had an umbrella in your cocktail. That's about it.
You do realize, like, Jimmy Buffett is one of the top grossing artists of all time.
Sure.
I'm not doubting that.
And he's never had a number one hit, ever.
Is this firing you up?
No, but it put me in a good mood. I, like I said, I love Jimmy Buffett. I Hold on, go out and watch Jimmy Buffett in Chicago
twice. About to
twice.
Hit that crescendo.
Son of a son, son of a son, son of a son of a sailor.
Yeah!
Son of a son.
Let's go! Let's
drop one inside the 20 right now.
Head of the jailer.
Watch me flip the field.
Like that, he didn't say fires up though. He said it kind of mellows you out and gets you focused a little bit.
I just didn't picture that. I expect someone with a little more.
I guess he is more of a cerebral player.
Oomph to it.
He's more of a cerebral player.
Yeah, I think he is. I think when you're punting, it's all cerebral. Like you don't need to be fired up to go kick or hold.
I mean, I would prefer that.
You got to be calm.
We fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing.
Son of a son, son of a son.
We were just picturing this all wrong. I guess before.
Just took Al Pacino to make it make sense.
Right.
Yeah. Now I can see how it works.
Huh. I don't know about you guys. Like, for me, Jimmy Buffett is Friday or Saturday music, cocktail in hand, no cares in the world. It's not what I'm listening to get ready for a football game. But when you're the punter and the holder, you do need to be very cerebral. You need to be calm, and you need to make sure that everything is focused. And if you're calm, everything can be focused. And when you're controlling a snap, whether it be on a punt or on an extra point, it's got to be perfect.
I mean, I guess
you gotta
I'm with you on that.
You got to spin that ball with the laces out. You got to make sure it's placed properly, and you don't have much time to do
but
it.
But I would think with Jimmy
Buffett calms you down.
I would think with Jimmy Buffett, you're like, if I spin it, I spin it. If I don't, I don't.
Well, that's you know fair, I mean? Too. Yeah,
it's all like, inconsequential. Like, I'm just going to dip my toes in the sand anyway.
The surf will still be rolling in, man, if
hey,
the laces
man,
are in or out.
It doesn't matter what we do. We're here having a margarita. So it's cocktail time.
I'm just
time.
Having a little
cheeseburger in paradise, baby. Love song from a different point of view.
I just felt like didn't quite connect. But hey, to each their own.
I mean, I'd name my kid after a Jimmy Buffett song.
I mean, I'm fine with, you know, the punter, I guess, wasting away in Margaritaville, but you don't want the linebackers doing that.
Like, right?
If you're like slamming skulls together.
Yeah. Cheeseburger paradise, Rob! Cover him in oil, go!
No, yeah, it doesn't quite.
I think it works for
fires
the punter.
Up the locker room.
I'm good with Dustin listening to this, man. I mean, smell those shrimp, man. They're boiling. Smell it.
Legend
bubble, bubble,
Bob
bubble.
Is a sniffer.
Of course, he's been wasting away. He's been wasting away for a few years now with Pat. You know?
Oh, that cut off abruptly. That was upsetting.
Doesn't pun a lot.
Did you ever find that salt, Jimmy? And you can just go to any restaurant and swipe a shaker of salt, you know?
I hear that all the time. People ripping everything off from restaurants.
That is true. They steal everything, so... Yeah, Dustin Colquitt, Jimmy Buffett, way to go.
Yeah, I shouldn't doubt it. He's the GOAT. That's the reason why. Goes and listens to Jimmy Buffett and then drops a couple punts inside the 20 and calls it a day.
Who's a better chance at the Hall of Fame, Colquitt or Eli Manning?
You think he's like humming it as he's, yeah. as he's back there punting?
Yes, yes, no.
Boom.
Why don't we get drunk in school?
That's not the line.
I just bought a water bed. It's filled up with Elmer's glue. I'm not making this stuff up. My mother for years thought it was, why don't we get drunk in school? I said, really? You
she
think
is,
that?
She just told you that.
So you think she was lying to me?
Yes.
I think your mom's lied to you about a lot of things.
Yes, yes.
She's trying to Isn't keep, that what parents are for?
Try to keep things away from you, yes.
I think my mom's lied to me one time.
It's a good song. He sings Love in the Library.
Better chance of Hall of Fame, Eli.
Yeah. But Colquitt's a Hall of Fame punter, right?
It's hard to get in.
It is. It really is hard. As a kicker and as a punter, it's so hard. And a head coach to get into the Hall of Fame.
I mean, Chiefs Ring of Honor for sure. But
yeah, oh, God, yes.
But Hall of Fame, I think,
Probably tough.
He's got Hall of Fame numbers, though.
Probably tough.
He's one of the best of all time.
I don't call him the GOAT with any.
There's what, four Hall of Famers?
That's it, right?
Four punters in the Hall of Fame?
There's not. It's not a big list, but I mean, if you're going to put one from this generation in, my God. I mean, if you need a punt inside the 20.
There's one punter. His name's Ray Guy.
He's the only one in the Hall of Fame?
According to ProFootballHallOfFame.com, yes.
Okay. Dustin can be the second. Got to knock down these walls.
It's a nice, concise name, Ray Guy.
Ray Guy, best punter ever.
Feels like you just boom a punt, you're done. Ray Guy.
Ray Guy.
That's Ray Guy.
The schedule came out, or when the schedule came out, I should say, we probably didn't see it as this big head-to-head, but it is. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the morning.